Thank you. It is an honor to be here, to be asked to come here and speak. I'd like to start off by asking that each one of you keep your hearts and minds open. I've had a hard time in the recent past feeling like I've had understanding of the Scriptures, trusting in myself to hear and see what the Lord has laid before me. So bear with me when I read Scripture this evening. If it doesn't make sense, I apologize. I do have a point that's been on my heart recently. And I think I can make that at the end if the Scriptures don't fit. It'll come together at the end. So first I'd like to ask tonight, who in the room has a cell phone on them? Who in the room has their cell phone on but still just silenced or on vibrate? I heard one go off. Thank you. Anyone that has your cell phone on, please, please, would you turn it off for me at this time? Unless you're, say, a doctor or a nurse or a fireman or a policeman that would need to be on call, just turn it off for now. I'm going to start reading tonight in Alma, chapter 12. Verses 103 through 110, saw page 370. And then Ammon saith, "Believest thou that there is a great spirit?" And he saith, "Yea." And Ammon saith, "This is God." And Ammon saith unto him again, "Believest thou that this great spirit, which is God, created all things, which are in heaven and in earth?" And he saith, "Yea, I believe that he created all things, which are in the earth, but I do not know the heavens." And Ammon saith unto him, "The heavens is a place where God dwells, and all his holy angels." And King Lamoni saith, "It is above the earth." And Ammon saith, "Yea." And he looketh down upon all the children of men, and he knows all the thoughts and intents of the heart. For by his hand were they all created from the beginning. In Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 7. "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." God is the creator of all things. The creator of life itself. We know he created the earth in 7 days, 6 days. He rested the seventh. But do you believe that God created the shirt that you wear? Do you believe that God created the car that you drive? How about the computer that you work so diligently at? Or the phone that you carry in your pocket? something I never thought about until I was putting this together, was that God created evil. When it said that, I thought to myself, wow. But it's true. It's true. He gave to us opposition. He created the tree of life, which was the knowledge of good and bad, where Adam fell. Of course, we know that Satan was an angel of his in heaven before he chose to be evil and leave heaven. Page 83 in the Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi, first chapter. Verses 81 and 82. For it must needs be that there is an opposition in all things. If not so, my firstborn in the wilderness, righteousness could not be brought to pass. Neither wickedness, neither holiness nor misery, neither good nor bad. Second Timothy chapter 3. It always goes so fast once I get up here. It takes forever to put things together. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I'm sure you'd all agree with me that we see this list outside these walls. Right? Everything that I just read, you could find something in this world to compare it to. Is there anything on that list that any of you might see in your own lives? What about, say, covetousness? Is there a time in our lives that you see something that someone else has that you want? You don't need it, but you may want it. I think every one of us has been disobedient to our parents at a time in our life, but our parent now is God. When I see without natural affection, I think a lot of the controversies over these video games. Because young people today are so infatuated by these video games. They're saying that they're becoming desensitized. They're becoming without affection. Without true affection. Natural affection. And of course, everywhere you go, there's a false accuser. When I see incontinent, my Bible says no self-control. I really don't see a lot of self-control in this world. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That is something that bombards us every day. James chapter 2. Verse 10 and 11. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. One thing. It takes one thing. Not a multiple of offenses. It takes one thing to make you a transgressor. This is the part that was confusing for me when I was trying to put this together. What's been on my mind for a long time, and I'll tell you that the last time I spoke at the East Local, this was on my mind. I prayed about it, and I felt strongly that I was on the right path, that I had what I needed to deliver a correct message to my brothers and sisters. Something that weighed strongly upon me, because I'll tell you, I'm the recorder at the East Local, and I see everything that goes on in the pews during a service. Everything. Am I right? Anyone who sat back there, do you not see? Standing up here, you don't see everything that goes on. You're looking at your notes, you're reading, you look up, you catch some of the audience's eyes. Back there, you see everything. And what I see is a sanctuary that's being filled with the world. Tonight I ask you all to turn your phones off. And it got really quiet in here. Our youngest member here didn't say a word. As the world went out those doors and took a right-hand turn and ran away because he wasn't welcome here. When I was at the East Local and I was trying to prepare for this, it was a couple of weeks before that I started preparing, before our brother Kaufman. And that infuriated me inside. I didn't realize it did. I was upset. I read Lamentations when I stood before the East Local, because when I read Lamentations, what Jeremiah wrote, it was so passionate in my heart that no one listened. They all went their own ways. They all went away from God, and He warned them. And after the destruction, after the people had suffered the consequences, His heart, He was so sorrowful, but it didn't work. I don't think anybody heard me. What worries me so much about the young people of this church, the middle-aged people of this church, I don't worry about the elders of this church. Although they could fall. Everything you do once you leave this room You're being tested. Your strength in the Lord's and your faith is being tested. And in this day and age of technology and conveniences, and believe me, I don't preach on anything that I'm not at fault at. We forget to give God His time. We find that every time we have something new that makes our life easier, and it's supposed to give us more time, more free time, what do? We find something else to fill that free time with. I find myself making excuses because I travel. So what that I drive 300 or 400 miles, work 5 or 6 hours, and then drive another 200 miles before I stop for the day? Is that any excuse that I should walk into a hotel room, flop down and turn a TV on, and lay there like a vegetable the rest of the night? But I do. I find that I don't give the study I need to, because I feel I'm exhausted. God forgives. I see young people that play video games. I see young people that walk down the street texting, talking. I'd love to be that multifunctional, but you know what? They are so caught up in the world. And I will be one to tell you that I was raised in the church of the world. I grew up idolizing beer commercials and thinking it was okay to be with one person and look at another. The way the world is today is exactly what this is. Everything on this list is what the world is. And when you sit in front of a computer, it's not always time well spent. Because I work in a technology world, and I know that there's things out there. They're developing things to get into your life. And it's already in your life. You're already bombarded with advertisements, with things that maybe shouldn't be coming on your computer. Now, I want you all to understand that I'm not standing here before you telling you that the computer is evil, that a telephone is evil, a television is not evil. It's the content that is viewed. It is the fact that it absorbs your life. If a TV's on in a room, I can walk in and sit down and not hear a thing going on anywhere else in the house, because I become consumed with it. That's the evil in it. My own, there should be another one on here, and that would be slothfulness, I think. I feel slothful about myself when I don't study. I will tell you, though, that beginning after that sermon at the East Local, Wendy and I have started something new. We've been married 8 years this month. In 8 years, we never sat down and studied together because we didn't have time. No, the fact is we never made time. We never limited ourselves to doing what we thought we needed to do. We never limited those things. We always just assumed that everything would get done and that God would see that we were doing our best to do this or that, and, you know, He would forgive us And if I had a sermon, that was on me to prepare while I was, you know, on the road and doing everything, and I accepted that. But it came to me that's where it starts. That's where we're teaching our daughter now, that when we stop what the world dictates to us and we do what we know we're supposed to do, that's study and give God the respect He deserves. He gave us everything. I really don't think that Henry Ford invented the truck or the car for an evil purpose. I don't think God gave him the knowledge to engineer and build that vehicle for an evil purpose. The same thing with the guy who built the computer and then Bill Gates, who swiped everything from him and is a billionaire, you know. And you know, the inventor of the internet, you know, Al Gore, I think he's evil, but the world consumed my life at one time. And now it's my hope and prayer. And honestly, I think I get more out of camp than most people, because you know what? That's a week without having to fight the world. And I so much enjoy seeing those kids outside the world, not having to deal with so-and-so got the newest phone and it's got everything on it. Well, I want one. Or, hey, are you with your girlfriend yet? They come there and they escape everything that the world is teaching them or trying to teach them. There's nothing touching them that's worldly there, and it's a blessing to me to see that, because I grew up in the world where I thought it was all okay. Thank you for turning your phones off tonight. I asked the East Local members that they never bring their phones back. When they come to church, this is Christ's church. This is God's house. Why would you think of bringing the world in with you? I have felt in the recent past that the Holy Spirit hasn't been with us. He hasn't been with us as abundantly. I know He's here. I see Him here in the miracles that He still gives us. And it might just be me fighting the devil myself. But I don't see the Holy Spirit among this church right now. And I feel that it's a worldly influence that's stopping it, that's fighting against it. I love these churches. I was home the first time I entered the East Local. Please leave the world outside. I'm going to close with 1 Thessalonians 4. Verses 1 through 7. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of... And I have not been able to pronounce this word all day. Concupiscence. Even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And I thank you. And it, like I said, it's always a joy when I get invited up here. And I hope that tonight I made something make sense. Thank you.